The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to week 7 of K4Wins.com. This is our show, of course. We have got a multitude of things to get into this week. And unlike last week, guys, where we were kind of sitting around going, it's kind of a weekend. You put that in there and you see how your teams perform, and all of a sudden they ain't so much a weekend. And this weekend, we got a lot of games I think a lot of people are looking forward to. Army and Navy both undefeated for the first time since 1945, this late in the season. The last time Ole Miss and LSU played each other, there's top 15s. Eli Manning and Nick Saban were on the sidelines. That's going to be a wild game. Texas and Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry. And we got the Ducks and the Bucks. But right now, I'd like to introduce you to our wonderful team here. Kip Kiefer, of course, he is the executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. And as he looks in over for the Venetian, right? You're the Venetian?
Yes, sir. Live from the Venetian, the fabulous resort right here on the Las Vegas Strip. It's been a blast.
And his son, Case Kiefer, of course, who's the beat writer for the Vegas Raiders and also, of course, chief editor for the Las Vegas Sun. He is right above you, but not in the Venetian, but also in the same city of Las Vegas. You guys aren't bunking up together. You're not doing a bunk bed situation, but I know you've been spending some time together. Congratulations on that wonderful thing. I know you guys have had a hell of a good time and a good week.
Oh, man, we had a big time. Case was covering the game, but did get to spend a lot of time with us. We went all out for the opener for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Tony. We had a lot of people in town. We got a lot of family here. We got a lot of exciting news happening. So we had to have a big blowout, and we rented our own luxury box.
Nice.
Opening night at the Golden Knights game, and it was an absolute memorable experience. Everybody had a great time.
Well, and I'd be remiss not to mention the party continues, because in a couple days, big boy, you're celebrating a birthday. So happy birthday. And
thank you so much.
That is a hell of a birthday celebration right there. You're a lot like me. I celebrate a week before and I celebrate a week after. And if you want to be part of it, get out of my way, because I'm only going to have about 90 of these things. So I'm going to celebrate everyone I've got. So it's great stuff. Case, let's jump into it. Let's do some college ball, man. I do think it's amazing. I love it when our armed forces are doing well. And it's amazing that Kai Gregory, who would normally join our show, is not here because of the armed forces. His son is obviously stationed over in South Carolina, so he's going to take the week off. UAB cannot catch a break here. They play Navy and they're undefeated. They get blown out. Now they've got Army, who's undefeated as well, and they're catching 27 points on the road. I can't remember the last time UAB caught that many points. It's probably against a Georgia a couple of years ago. But just your thoughts about the armed forces and how they're playing ball and how they're getting it done. Army's defense pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I didn't have an Army now as high as 28 against UAB. I never would have expected that coming into the season. I really didn't expect much from any of these three programs this year. I thought all of them might be down a little bit, and obviously that's happened with Air Force, but Army and Navy are great. I really don't think this is going to happen, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it, and it's very interesting. I mean, right now there's a scenario where Army and Navy could be playing in the conference championship game, and then a week later have a regular season game between each other.
And I've been asked that question. They will play that game, correct? I mean, if they play the
100%,
championship.
100%, yeah. It would be back-to-back. They'd play both of them. So I think someone ultimately gets them. But right now you got to say they're both a contender in the conference.
That'd be pretty doggone cool. Kip, let's go down to you, man, with the Red River rivalry. It's not really a rivalry right now. Of course, you got Texas favored by a couple of touchdowns against Oklahoma. Texas obviously playing extremely well, winning every game by at least 19 points, both teams coming off bye weeks. It's going to be a close ball game.
Well, Tony, let's just take last year, for instance. Texas goes to the Final Four in the college football playoff, gets beaten in the semifinal game by Washington. But earlier that year in Dallas, big stumbling block. I think Case can correct me. I think Oklahoma only finished up like 7-5 last year, maybe 8-4. But they beat Texas last year in that game, and it is the classic rivalry game, the 50-50 split in the stands at the Texas State Fair. It's exactly the same mileage from Austin, Texas, as it is from Norman, Oklahoma. These two teams take over Dallas. It's just a happening, and you never know what's going to happen. It's a big rivalry game. People don't need to lose sight of that. It's the first time, of course, it's ever been an SEC game. So I don't like this Oklahoma team very much offensively. You've got to like Texas personnel wise, but it'd be really tough for me to part with 14.5 points here, because this is just one of those games that always seems to go right down to the wire.
Case, what is Vegas saying about this game? How's the line moved, or is it pretty much stayed squat all week?
Not a ton of movement on this. I do think we're mostly at 14 now, a couple 14.5 still. So I guess maybe a little bit of action on Oklahoma, both coming off byes. So both should be sturdy, have a solid plan. I think Kip said it. It's hard for me to trust the Oklahoma offense. This isn't a game I have a bet on, but I did break it down. I pick all the games at LasVegasSun.com for my weekly college football by the odds column. And it was just a guess of the lowest confidence, but I do think I went with Texas. I just think it's a big discrepancy. I think Texas actually, for all the hype of Arch Manning, I think Quinn Ewers is clearly the better option right now. And they've had a week for him to get back. I do think he's going to be out there. And I like Oklahoma's defense a lot, actually, but I just don't see how Texas doesn't score points. And the Oklahoma offense, I don't really trust to keep up. So if you got to make a bet on all the big plays, to me, this is Texas or pass. But to me, it's a pass.
And normally when you lose your quarterback, you're supposed to fall off a little bit, but not so much when you have a Manning backing you up. And of course, Texas playing really well. And now you're wondering who you want to be your quarterback, I guess. But it's nice to know you have a backup there. It's another ball game, number two against number three, that we failed to bring up, the Ducks and the Bucks. And I want to start right there. First of all, we'll start with you, Kip. What's your thoughts on this monster ball game? The last time they played each other, Cardale Jones was in there. Of course, we had Ezekiel Elliott was running the football. I mean, it's been a long time. And what a great ball game that was. And Cardale Jones, remember, he shot up. He went from like a fifth round guy to a first round guy after one game. It was amazing how big and stout he was. But that is the marquee game of the week. Do you have a play on that game? And then let's start firing off some plays. What you got, Kip?
You know, I guess it's drifted around. I mean, at one time, I think it was 1.5 or 2. And now Case mentioned to me last night that Oregon had drifted up a little bit. I think there might be about 3 now. Case can clarify that. But you know, I get hung up too much sometimes on some statistical anomalies, and I'm really have fully aware, and a lot of my plays this week are based on it, which means it'll probably blow up. But do you know, in the Big Ten, in these intercontinental two time zone travel deals, that the teams in the Big Ten that have been on the road are 1-8
wow.
in the first 9 games. And that's a stat that I think is pretty alarming. There's several of those matchups this week. Ohio State has not left the state until this. They've been fattening up at home against everybody. I thought the win last week against Iowa, who I think is a pretty decent football team, was pretty telltale. But now they go on the road. So, and you can't say that you're really impressed with Oregon, how they've handled their business so far. They've had a lot of closer spots than you might expect. They really haven't really, I don't see them having it totally together offensively yet. Maybe that's coming this week at better, because this Ohio State team's got a lot of firepower. But it's just one of those games that statistic is a little unnerving for me. The first road trip for Ohio State and going out west to a very loud and very fired up Austin Stadium. It's just a tough spot for the Buckeyes. If I had to lean either way, I think Oregon gets it done.
Case, the Ducks catching points at home. That's a hard buy, man.
I'm usually always the first one to shoot down some of these trends and say they're not statistically significant. And I think still with 9 games, you could still kind of say that. But I do think there is something. There's been some great research papers that are written on this, if you want to look them up, just about circadian rhythms and just sleep schedules. And actually, really the hardest trip you can make is East Coast to West Coast to be at peak performance for an evening game. That's exactly where Ohio State is in this situation. It didn't play a ton into my handicap of the game, but I do like Oregon. I still lean that way at three. It's a little tougher to me. I bet plus 4.5. This did open earlier this week at like Ohio State, 4, 4.5, all off season. Kip is right. It was right around the pick'em. I think both teams are favored by 1 or 1.5 at one point. If you just isolate, you know, for this season of what Ohio State has done, I mean, there's no poking holes in them. They've actually played, you know, some decent competition, and they've just blown out everyone. Oregon's had its ups and downs. So I understand if you just look at these four games, you're going to say, well, Ohio State should roll. But I think it's way too early to erase everything we thought about teams coming into the season. Oregon's probably saved some stuff up for this point. I just think roster wise, it's pretty close. And we all know quarterback's the most important. And I trust Dylan Gabriel a little bit more than Will Howard, even though Gabriel's not exactly having the greatest season I thought right now. So, I mean, I'm happy I got to snag that Oregon plus 4.5, but I still would lean that way. It's a tough game, but yeah, I mean, at Autzen, I think it's a big home field advantage for some of the things we talked about. And I just think personnel wise, it's pretty close. So I'll lean to Oregon to me at the current price.
Tony Curry, along with Case Kiefer and Kip Kiefer, we are handicappers extraordinaire. We're hitting 64.8% of our plays on K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. That is nothing to sneeze at. We're very, very proud of that. Of course, all the plays are free. You can check out this show. Go to our YouTube channel. You want to go back and document it. You can watch old shows and see what we picked and just see what we do against the number. We're doing fantastic. One other game I'll look at, and then I want you guys to dive into what you really like, because there's a lot of games I love this weekend. I don't know if South Carolina should be happy that they're playing this Alabama squad that's got beat by Vanderbilt. And by the way, Vandy's catching 14 against Kentucky. That's just weird. But here they come squandering in for the first time in a couple of years. They don't score a touchdown last weekend against Ole Miss. They did have 312 yards through the air and on the ground, and they just could not break that Ole Miss defense. Ole Miss defense, nothing to sneeze at as well, but they only put up a 3 spot. And here they come playing Alabama, who's, quite frankly, their defense has not been good. Offense is not a question here for Alabama. It's their defense has been losing their ball games. What do you guys see in that game? Kip, we'll start with you.
You know, I pride myself on being expert on every SEC team. I don't mind admitting that's my focus. I pay attention to what's happening around the country, but this South Carolina team is a riddle wrapped in an enigma, in an absolute puzzle. I really don't know how to break them down. They actually caught Kentucky in Lexington, obviously looking ahead to Georgia somewhat, and South Carolina just waxed them, which gave some pretty strong signals that this team may be a lot more advanced than we expected, because I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year with an unproven new quarterback in Lenoris Sellers and really just kind of a lack of skill players. But what they did to Kentucky was eye-opening, particularly the next week when Georgia, of course, had taken to the wire by Kentucky, and South Carolina went home and had a 17-0 lead on LSU early and really made mistakes down the stretch. There is no way they should have lost that football game. They completely outplayed LSU. They outbig played them. They just gave them some scores that cost them the game. So I had high expectations last week. I thought the Gamecocks were one of the best bets on the board against Ole Miss, who I thought might be reeling going on the road, coming off that bad loss to Kentucky. And South Carolina basically didn't show up. Yep. So I don't know what to think. To answer your original question, I don't think it's a good time to catch Alabama, because I don't know what the atmosphere in Tuscaloosa was this week as far as the team and the players are concerned, but they've got to be in a pretty foul mood here. I cannot see the Gamecocks hanging in this game. I think Alabama is going to big play them to death. I like the Tide, and I'm willing to give the 20.
Another guy that was feeling pretty sour, the Legend. And by the way, you can see how he reacts to that coming up on Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock on the starting lineup on ABC 3340 here locally. Case, what's Vegas feel about Alabama? They think they're going to bounce back. They're favored by 3 touchdowns.
Not a ton of movement in this game, and not one of my favorite things, but naturally, as always on the show, we're opposites. I bet some South Carolina plus 21 early in the week. You get some 21.5 now, so I guess a little bit of a lean on Alabama, and I agree with a lot about the spot for Alabama. It seems like this should be you know, where they come together, maybe if they answer some questions defensively. But I just look, South Carolina's got an explosive offense too, so I feel like this could be up and down. I would be absolutely shocked if Alabama lost again, but I don't know. I've been a little bit higher than the market on South Carolina all year. I've bet them a ton, including that first week game where they didn't show up. I know I had them in the Kentucky game. So I don't know. I'm still a little bit higher on them. I just think 21 is a lot, for which to me is still an above average South Carolina team. They have their flaws. But, you know, as far as explosives, if they're on, they can not match Alabama, but come pretty close. So it seems like a pretty big line to me.
I'm going to go ahead and throw out my first big play this week. And I'm going to say Alabama's going over that total again. They're 4-1 over total so far. South Carolina obviously coming off a 3-pointer, like, what in the deal? They had a good offense, or at least their offense looked pretty inept going into that ball game, and for whatever reason they just could not get in the end zone. I think they went for it three times on their own side of the football field and came up short, and so that certainly played into the way the score looked at 27-3. But again, if South Carolina can put up 13-14 points, this game's going to go over the 50.5. I don't think Alabama has any issues with offense. I think they can open up and do whatever they want against South Carolina offensively speaking. And if it's true, Kip, that they're going to go ahead and lay it out there and say, listen, you know, if we're going to have to put it out there, and you're starting to see a little dissension there. You're starting to see some of the offensive guys come on and say, yeah, we're doing our end of the deal here. We're keeping our end of the deal up here. We just need to get the defense on board. We're behind them. We're going to support them. You support 35, 38 points. You should not be losing football games. Not when you're in the SEC. So I see Alabama's offense firing up everything. They may cover this 50.5 all by themselves against South Carolina. I really like them. And I think it's maybe a good thing that they're back home. And I know it's an 11 o'clock start. A lot of people freaked out by that 11 o'clock early game. They're not going to be sleepwalking. DeBoer's not going to have that happening. I also think Beamer, who went into that game last week and said he had the best week of practice they've had in 3 years.
Yeah, that shocked
against
me.
Ole Miss. He said that we have played lights out. We're going to be, and I was on board with that too. And he said, I don't know what the hell happened. We just missed everything. He said it was like we were a half a second off every single play in this ball game. He just absolutely went to the whip this week in practice. So I don't think they're going to have a problem scoring 14 points. I like the over 50.5 of that ball game. Another game I've been looking at too, and you brought up LSU. I'm not a Brian Kelly fan. I didn't think Brian Kelly was going to win a national championship at Notre Dame. I thought maybe he could represent Notre Dame in a national, and he did that. I don't know if he's going to take LSU. He has won his last four ball games. They're only 1-4 against the spread. And here comes Ole Miss, 5-1 against the spread. And again, I think this is going to be a quarterback defensive type of game. What quarterback can exploit the defense on the other side? But you've also got LSU, of course, catching 3.5 points at home. And I think that anytime you can get points at home in LSU, I think that's a good thing. What do you guys see in this game?
Well, Case, you saw LSU in person, so why don't you lead it off?
I like Ole Miss quite a lot in this game. Yeah. I bet 2.5, which is gone now. I'm just not that impressed with LSU. I wasn't that impressed coming into the season when I saw them out here. I wasn't that impressed. And since then, they've just had a ton of injuries. I know they haven't really had a big game in a while. They had a bye week, so they could be a little bit healed. But, I mean, they've lost like 3 running backs for the year. The John Emery kid broke out here and was like a great story, decided to come back. He gets hurt. So they're down to like their 4th running back. The defensive line is got a cluster injury there. And I think Ole Miss is good up front to begin with. So I would expect them to win this game in the trenches. It's a little bit tougher sell when it gets to 3.5, obviously. I mean, even in college football where the scoring environment's amped up, 3 is still the most important number. And I mean, there is the mystique of Tiger Stadium and everything, but I think it's just accounting for a little bit too much in this line. I know stock's a little bit down on Ole Miss after they lost the Kentucky game. And that was a little inexplicable, and I am kind of worried maybe something's wrong with Jackson Dart, because he just didn't look right even last week in the blowout. I mean, they mostly won with their running game and their defense, but I think defense, it's important to talk about Ole Miss. I don't think their defense gets enough credit. I mean, that's where they put so much resources in the NIL. I think this defense is legit, and I don't know. I just look man-to-man. I think Ole Miss is the clearly better team. I think if they don't get it done here, there's no excuses. So I'm on Ole Miss.
I think that line's probably just about right, Kip. Yeah.
This is kind of the ultimate Lane Kiffin referendum, I think, because he's got the horses this year. He's got the offensive firepower. He has got the best defense money can buy. I think 8 of their starters are right out of the portal. 2 of them were 5-star players from Texas A&M and Florida, respectively. So like Kay says, they've got the personnel, but this is the game that they really need to win. And like Kay says, the mystique of Baton Rouge on a Saturday night is a real thing, but I just think Ole Miss has a better team, and this is the chance for Lane Kiffin to really put himself in the conversation. And we forget LSU, although they fell flat on opening night against USC, they have managed to win since then, including a conference game against South Carolina. So they are right in the hunt, even with the one early loss. So this game has huge implications for both teams going forward. It's basically an elimination game. If Ole Miss gets a second loss, they're pretty much done with some of the tough spots still on their schedule. LSU, you know, can really enhance their stock in terms of staying in the discussion if they can knock off the Rebels. This is an intriguing game, but I agree with Case emphatically. Ole Miss is one of my best bets of the week. They're just a better team.
I hate to go against you, and I got LSU plus a 3.5 on this game just because I know that if I take the other side, I have gotten screwed by Brian Kelly so many times between the St. Louis Cardinals and Major League Baseball and Notre Dame slash LSU. I don't know if I've won a game in my entire life. So I'm going to take LSU plus a 3.5, close my eyes, and maybe just put something on, eat my Cheetos, and be quiet. I did want to mention one more game, then I'm going to let you guys get into your games. A lot of people ask me about the UAB situation. I do a show every week called The Inferno with Trent Dilfer. He was a no-show this past Monday. They did give him the show off. It wasn't like he didn't show up, but he had a lot going on, obviously, with some things that he said on our show, as a matter of fact, on The Inferno, about recruiting and about some things about Louisville and their volleyball team, of all things. But right now, when you're 1-4, everyone's the vultures are out. If he's 4-1, no one's talking about it. If you had told me that UAB was going to be catching 27 or 28 points before the season, I would have taken out a second or third mortgage on the house and put it on UAB. Something is not right with Jacob Zeno. He had an MRI on his shoulder before the last game, and they said it was so sore and so swelled up, they had a hard time getting it in the machine. So I don't know if that is playing into it.
Oh, boy.
He's just off right now. He is not hitting any of his first marks. He's looking at his second and third. And in some cases, he's not even looking at his first mark because they're saying he's not ready to pull the trigger on that first read. And if you're not looking at your first read, you got some big time issues. That's why that offense looks so inept. But to be giving up 27 points to UAB, I know Army's 5-0 against the spread. I'm going to leave that game alone. If I had to go, if I had a gun to my head, I'd take the Blazers plus the 27, but I wouldn't play it a whole lot. Kip, what are some other games that are really jumping out to you that you absolutely love this weekend in college? And we'll talk some pros real quick.
Well, again, I'm probably over-relying on the 1-8 syndrome, the two time zone travel barrier. But I like both these other teams, and they both fit that scenario. So I really, really like USC to bounce back. They lost at Minnesota last week in one of those time travel games. Now they host Penn State. Case is high on Penn State in terms of their personnel, but you know, they've been at home playing lesser teams. They beat Bowling Green, barely avoiding overtime. They have not been very dynamic offensively. They're winning games by 10, 12 points against teams that, if they really are competent teams, should be blowing out. I just don't really like this offense very much. And James Franklin, you know, he's been good at Penn State, but he's never gotten over the hump in big games. And the USC is kind of backed in a corner. They're at home. They're on the West Coast. Penn State's traveling out there, and Penn State's the favorite. I just think they're overhyped. I love USC in this game. I really do, and they might disappoint me. Lincoln Riley has done it before, but that one jumps out at me. And on the other spectrum, going west to east, is Washington coming off a big win at home against Michigan. But Washington already showed us their East Coast lackluster game when they went to New Jersey and lost to Rutgers, who I know Rutgers is better than the Rutgers of old, but Washington is going to Iowa. Iowa's got to be smarting and really humiliated by what Ohio State did to them last week. I just think Iowa's going to have kind of a last stand mentality in this game. Washington traveling across the country. Iowa's a slight favorite. I like the Hawkeyes a lot to beat the Washington Huskies. We've we've already talked about Ole Miss. About the only other game I have, Tony, is UCF really looks lousy to me right now. They look one-dimensional. It's Gus Malzahn team being a Gus Malzahn team. Right when you think maybe this team has some credibility, they get clobbered by Colorado, and they lose to the dumpster fire that is the Florida Gators. They've got the Cincinnati Bearcats coming in this week. Cincinnati, a team that's had a couple of really good outings, and they're catching the 7, unless I've got that line wrong. But if Cincinnati's getting 7, oh, it's down to 3 now. Okay. Well, I guess that was the line. I always get the opening line and don't get the updates. But still, I'm gonna take the Cincinnati Bearcats because I think UCF is reeling right now.
I actually took Washington plus the 3.5 against Iowa as my dog pick of the week on the starting lineup.
Okay.
My dogs have lost the last 3 weeks, so to hit those dogs, but I'm getting smarter. I'm not taking dogs that are 7 to 10 point dogs. I'm taking those 2 or 3 point dogs.
I bet Washington money line too.
So I had Michigan last week, and of course Washington. The only thing about Washington is their games are so damn ugly. The over-unders are like in the 30s. I think it's 41 this week. It's just going to be a mud bath. It's going to be an ugly ball game. It's going to be a 13-10. And if it's that small, I figured you're gonna cover the 3. If you can cover the 3, you probably can win the money line. So I actually took Washington on that side. I mentioned the fact South Carolina, Bama over the 50, which is my play of the week. I love that play. I'm going to be all over that. I'm looking at this Oregon State Beaver game against UNLV. I don't really understand. I know UNLV is 4-1 against the spread. They're 2-3 overall. Oregon's 4. They're 4-2. I don't understand why this line is that small. It's only 3.5. I realize that Oregon State's going on the road. I love the over 47.5 in this ball game because both teams can put up some serious points. They're averaging close to 30 points per ball game. I don't know why it's 47.5. I'm going to parlay that bad boy, or maybe even box the bet. Take Oregon State plus or minus the 3.5 and the over 47.5 in that ball game. And then, like I said, I'll probably take LSU plus 3.5 just to kind of mull around. Things may change. I may see some things when the game starts seeing. If I get up a little early, maybe I'll be dropping some money on some games I'm not particularly fond of just to have something to watch. But I'm going to take LSU plus the 3.5 just because they're at home. And I think Brian Kelly's got something up his sleeves. He can start the season 5-1 and get a lot of naysayers off his ass if he gives 5-1 and knocks off. Everyone wants to knock off Lane Kiffin. If you knock off Lane Kiffin, that's a good win no matter what the record is, because everyone doesn't like Lane Kiffin. So I'm going to go with those guys. Case, what's jumping out at you?
Yeah, well, hopefully that Ole Miss game can just land 3 so we both win.
There you go. Yeah, I'm in.
I bet minus 2.5. Yeah, I don't know. That Washington-Iowa game that you both talked about, it's pretty interesting. Not a best bet for me, but man, I don't think you can hold Washington's performance against Rutgers against them. That was the biggest fluke. That's probably the biggest fluke game of the season. You look at like their postseason win expectancy, which is based on how well they played on a per play basis. They don't miss some field goals. They were like 96% to win that game and somehow lost. But I will say there's some really smart people on Kip's side because Iowa takes money every single week. I've been fighting with the market. Look at the NFL now. There's Iowa guys in their first or second year everywhere. At some point, it's going to hurt losing that many defensive NFL players. It certainly hurt last week when Ohio State put 35 on them. And just offensively, I think they're a 0. So I lean Washington there. What other games you guys talk about? USC, I am a little bit on USC. I bet USC plus 6. It's down to 3.5 or 4 now. I do think Penn State is better, but yeah, it's tough to go on the road and talent-wise pretty even. As far as what I like the best, this probably will be unpopular, as I've heard so many people pick the other side, and I just don't get it. I think if you look at these teams from an analytical perspective, it's clear one is better. I like Cal plus 3.5 at Pittsburgh. I know people like Panthers. The Panthers, they've been a great story. Eli Holstein, the kid who left Alabama, has been one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. But they're winning every game like 37-34. Crazy comebacks in the second half. It's not really like a sustainable strategy. And I mean, Cal's just come out and been great every week. They've been a lot better than I thought they'd be. Even their superstar running back, Jaden Nott, who we thought was going to be like one of the best players in the nation. He's been like their third best running back. Mm-hmm. He's barely even gotten out there with an injury. Maybe he's a little healthier this week, but I think Cal goes across the country. I guess a flip. We've talked a lot about home teams that can take advantage of the travel. I actually think a home team goes down here. I like Cal outright. I think that might have been my upset on the starting lineup. I record it so early in the week. I know I talked about the game, but I can't remember if it was a best bet or upset. So yeah, I like Cal there. Just scrolling through, trying to see if I got some other things. Naturally, I like this one. I'm opposite Kip though on the UCF one. I had to
go. Oh, okay.
When it was minus three.
Somebody's going to win.
Yeah. Only when it was minus three. I mean, if Kip saw the seven, there's no way I would lay a seven with UCF right now. They are a mess, but I just like their roster a whole lot better. And just one more in the SEC. I don't mind laying the huge number with Georgia this week. I think Mississippi State is just terrible. And I know a lot of times in these games, Kirby Smart hasn't really cared to run up the score, and there's going to be the threat of a backdoor cover. But I think with the way Georgia's looked the last couple of weeks, they are going to for once be out for some style points. And I just think Mississippi State has nothing, just not on Georgia's level at all. So if they're not at least lead, if they're not at least covering some point in the second half, probably early in the second half, I would be shocked. And then it's just a question of if the Mississippi version of the Bulldogs slip in the back door. But I wouldn't mind laying the big number with Georgia to stay in the SEC.
Case Kiefer 7-0 on the starting lineup this past weekend. That is nothing to sneeze at, man. A fantastic run right there. And of course, we continue to do that. A lot of us are on different sides here. Let's look at the pros real quick. Did I just say, like, the end of the last show, I said, what's going on with the Jets? No one cares about the Jets. Aaron Rodgers comes in. They were supposed to be one piece away from winning a Super Bowl. Now they need a coach and a football player named Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback. He's got the banged-up ankle. They're actually catching 2.5 at home against a Bills squad that just got beat this past week. That's an interesting ball game to me. I think it's really interesting that the Bengals are probably the best 1-4 team in the history of the league. I don't know what to do about those guys, but I want to do start with the beat writer. Of course, those Las Vegas Raiders, Case Kiefer, they've got an interesting ball game as they host the Steelers this weekend. What are you seeing from the squad? And give me some plays in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know. They're really banged up right now. They just lost their probably the biggest free agent in the NFL this spring was Christian Wilkins, who they signed to a $110 million deal. They just lost him probably for the year to a foot injury. Every offensive lineman is hurt. So, they've looked terrible offensively. They're switching to Aiden O'Connell at quarterback, who I think is honestly a little bit worse than Gardner Minshew, maybe just a little more careless with the ball. So then that being said, I don't like this Pittsburgh team either. I think they've been overvalued all year. I was on the Cowboys last week, and God, they made you sweat till the final play, but the underlying numbers, they should have beat them more. So I don't know. I can't back either team here. I do think both defenses are a little overvalued. Like I said, with the Raiders hurt, this defense is just not what it was at the end of last year, which was one of the best teams in the NFL. And even the Steelers, I think they're getting by a more reputation than actual results, especially passing wise. They haven't been great defensively. So I bet over 36 when it dipped there. I think it might still be at like 37.5. I don't mind betting over just as a fade of the defenses, but I don't blame anyone at all if they don't want to get involved with this game, because it is ugly. That Jets Bills game you mentioned, it did get me yesterday. I did end up betting some Jets money line plus 125. I think that's a better bet than a minus 2.5. I do expect kind of an inspired effort with the new interim coach, but that's secondary to me. I just look at the Bills injury report is very concerning for me. I mean, they are building a lot of this offense around Khalil Shakir. He's out. James Cook hasn't practiced yet this week, which doesn't bode well for him having any availability. I mean, they already had no weapons. Now they're all hurt. I do expect the Bills to get it together and win the division eventually, but just seems like even with Aaron Rodgers' ankle, the Jets are in a much better spot health-wise and with the new coach at home. I think they probably shouldn't be the underdog. Too bad Ty's not here, because I know he's a Titans fan, so I'd like to get his read on that. But that's actually my biggest bet of the week. I took the Titans when they were still an underdog. I know they flipped the favorite now from injury stuff as well, but I mean, they should dominate the Colts up front, and it's not going to be an ugly, pretty game. But I like the Titans too to throw one more game in there.
Kip, interesting ball game between the Lions and the Cowboys. Something tells me whoever wins this game's got the inside track. They should. Tell me about that game. What do you see there? Do you like a play? And then give me some of your own NFL plays that are really jumping out at you.
Well, first on my list, I had the Titans. I agree with Case big time on that. I just don't think this Colts team is very impressive at all. I also had on my list, and this might just be, I don't know. I've really gotten to where I'm admiring what the Green Bay Packers are accomplishing. The Cardinals are reeling right now. They had their stock pretty high after a couple of weeks, but now their defense has been exposed, and they're going to Green Bay. The Packers are less than a touchdown favorite. I think Green Bay probably runs them out of Cheeseland. As the Cowboys Lions game, it's interesting. Case, is Detroit still 2.5 or 3-point favorite?
Yeah, it was 3.5 a lot earlier in the week. I bet some Cowboys at +3.5 net down to 3.
Yeah, I, the Cowboys, personnel-wise, still have the team that should be better. I don't know internally what's wrong with that team. They just have weeks where they don't perform very well. But, I'm not completely – I do like what Campbell's done at Detroit, and I respect the Lions. But I just think the Cowboys at home are the bet here if you're going to play this game. I'd have to go that way. And let's see, I had somebody else on my list. I do like just because it's the NFL, and my first reaction goes, oh, the Eagles are playing the Browns. The Browns suck. They're a big disappointment. But then I saw the line, and the Browns are catching 8.5, 9, 9.5, whatever it is. And it's just one of those games where the Eagles are not a reliable team to really plow down on in terms of giving points. So I just have a sneaking suspicion that somehow, some way, the Browns covered that.
Hell, the Eagles may have had to score 11 points to cover that game. I don't know where the Browns are going to score. I'm so happy to see, and I'm a Bengals fan, so I'm so happy to see the Browns just suck and win. I'm so glad they spent $300 trillion on Deshaun Watson. I know there's another lawsuit out there because someone rubbed his ass in an alleyway this past weekend. I love that. So it couldn't happen to a better team. And of course, the Browns have had the Bengals number over the last couple of years. But that offense is horrible. That offense is just hard to watch. It really is. There's no reason to have the Browns on red zone at all because they never make it inside the 20. I don't think they appeared one time last week.
They're really bad.
Since I always point out, I feel like in the college games, Kip and I have been against each other so many times. I agree with him on all this NFL plays. I didn't bet the Packers game. I think that number's right, but if I had to, I would be on the Packers. I agree. I'm just looking to sell the Eagles at any opportunity. It's so hard to get behind the Browns right now. That's not a big bet for me, but I don't know. I think there's a disconnect in Philadelphia, and I think the defense is terrible. So if there's ever a time where Cleveland could score some points, it's here. Just an interesting note on that Cowboys-Lions game. I'm not super confident. Like I said, I bet the Cowboys +3.5, but these two teams, if you remember, played, I think, December 30th. So it was like week 16 last year, a crazy game in Dallas where Detroit missed the two-point conversion. Dallas was a 5.5-point favorite, I think, at close of that game. Now they're a 3.5-point underdog. You hardly ever see that. And I know the
Chiefs changed swing.
A little bit. Yeah, it's a different year. And I am high on the Lions. I think they're a Super Bowl contender. But, man, that's a 9-point swing. Usually you don't want to be taking the worst of it that badly with Detroit.
I was a big Campbell.
Remember, folks, Detroit's one of the only NFL franchises to never, ever appear in a Super Bowl.
I was a big Campbell fan until I started seeing him in the Applebee's commercials. And now I'm kind of like, yeah, yes, he's gone Hollywood on us, man.
Yeah, he has. Hey, before we go, Tony, I have to brag on my son and our compatriot here. We were at the Golden Knights game the other night. He made a couple of bets on who was going to score the first goal in that game, including a Colorado player. I don't know his first name, named Ratnan. And of course, about 4 minutes in the game, Colorado scores. Ratnan, 40-1, Tony. Case Kiefer cashes. And his other bet was a guy named Olofsson, who the Golden Knights signed on the offseason from Buffalo. He had him at a big number, +250 to score a goal anytime in the game. 30 seconds after Ratnan scored, Olofsson scores for the Golden Knights. Case immediately, 5 minutes in the game, has rung the register for a couple grand. It was impressive to watch.
Feel free to drop some of those hockey lines too, if you want to. By the way, in pro wise, I did want to mention, I'm going to take my Bengals again. They are 2-3 against the spread, 1-4 overall. They're going to give it up 3.5 against the Giants squad. And Jamar Chase said, listen, it starts now. I mean, I don't want us to say they can't start 1-5. No team's ever been 1-5, made the playoffs. They've got to win this game this weekend. I do love the Packers, 2 -5.5. I think they're going to look really good. I like the over in that game against the Cards. I think the Houston Texans are playing lights out. They're a playoff team. They're 4-1 right now. They're playing against Drake May, of course, it's the second rookie this year they play. The first rookie, of course, with the Commanders. They beat them that game as well. And I also like... I also like the Commanders and the Ravens over the 51. You know, you look at lines, and in case you can talk about this one, you see a line like 43, 44, it doesn't seem like a lot. 51 seems like it's an enormous amount. It's only one more touchdown. These two teams are 8-2 in overs this year, and both of them cannot stop the run. Trent Richardson, I called him a couple of days ago. He was talking about how these two runners may run for 200 yards on both sides of the ball. They're going to be throwing the ball. The Commanders have gone over 4-1 at that clip, so I like the over 51. 51, that particular ball game. But hey, listen, I hope you guys have a fantastic time out there. Happy birthday to you, Kip. We're looking for you, so don't fall off a bridge. Don't get stuck up on the roof of a hotel out there. Don't do anything goofy. Don't look for Michael Tyson's tiger. Don't go, you know, finding a woman and getting her pregnant during the weekend out there. Just be a good boy, because we're going to need you when you come back, all right?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on my best behavior here. I'm those days are gone, my Vegas hangover days, but still enjoying family and friends here and so many events. So it's living the dream.
Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. You can catch all the plays. If you missed any of the plays this week, it's all free for you, K4Wins.com. Thank you, gentlemen.
It was fun.
Thanks.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.